So two penguins on an iceberg, and one says to the other, "You look like you're wearing a tuxedo." The other one replies, "How do you know I'm not?" I got that on Saturday from a movie, Prairie Home Companion, which is about a radio program that they actually do live at a theater. And when I was live Saturday mornings, I always thought about doing one at the Arlington. Give a guy a microphone and his ego grows. And I don't want to give you anything away about the movie in case you see it, but he... the host was asked, you know, how he felt about the program. And he goes, "You know, I feel like every program is my last program." And something about that struck me. I think I feel the same way. I don't know why. It's a bizarre thing. But Prairie Home Companion. Welcome to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. The next hour will be your local real estate news magazine. I am Mark Schneidman, your local realtor since 1988. With Coldwell Banker, Santa Barbara resident since 1977, I'm here with talent on loan from the California Department of Real Estate. As usual, the weekly multiple listing sales update on the fourth segment. Coming up just about 10 minutes before the hour. Tracking median home price sales weekly year to date and the current active inventory all compared to last year's numbers. Call us at 564-1290, 564-1290. Also, don't forget RadioRealEstate.com, RadioRealEstate.com. You can listen to past program and past programs, get real estate information, search MLS listings, and have a ball. Got a few things working today for the segments 2 and 3, some real estate articles on raw sewage. Segment, what were you thinking? Mold, laundry room story, fraud. You know, before I forget, and I do have a friend on the phone who's going to talk a little bit about in this first segment. In fact, let's welcome him on. Good morning, Chuck. Thanks for joining me this morning.
Good morning, Mark. It's nice to join you.
Chuck Kent, who is an attorney, or was a practicing attorney. Are you still practicing?
Yes, I am, but I'm getting toward the end of my years now that I'm 70 years old.
Well, happy birthday.
Well, thanks. I keep my attorney license and my real estate broker's license active because I like to stay involved in the community.
We're going to talk a little bit about the community, just a brief synopsis on a couple of articles, letters to the editor that I've read in the Santa Barbara News Press, and there was a op-ed piece yesterday's, or maybe it was the official editorial. Chuck will comment upon.
Right.
He was involved in the election for the second supervisorial district. But I just wanted to mention this. I didn't get to it last week, Chuck. And I was it last week? We were talking about city annexation.
Right.
And Goleta and this whole... Well, this is perfect. This relates to exactly why you're here and what we'll talk about in this first segment.
Okay.
Big Brother Bob Braitman from LAFCO was on. Do you know him?
Yes, I do. I don't know him personally, but I've watched him a lot on television.
Okay. You watch scintillating TV then, I guess. Just watching county. So he was on. We were talking about this push by one fellow, Steve Engels, who was a big radio man himself, owned several stations. Pushing and a drive to get a big area of the Eastern Valley, the Nolita area, to come under the sphere of influence of Santa Barbara.
Exactly, which later could become annexation if LAFCO approved.
Right, and it's certainly not an indication that it would be a city, but you can't become a city unless you're under the sphere of influence. So we were dancing around that, and of course I refer to him affectionately as Big Brother Bob Braitman, too, because of the power that LAFCO can have.
Oh, sure.
Just giving him a hard time, and then we were talking about things that were out of his bailiwick before his time was the annexation of the airport, the gerrymandering of the line out to the through the ocean that goes up to the airport, which I learned was about 100 feet wide. I think that was a minimum. I always thought it was like a 6-foot path.
It's up to 100 feet wide, though. I didn't know that either.
I think,
knew it wasn't much.
I think so. No, I think 100 feet, he said, was the minimum it has to be.
Okay.
So you could get on a boat and go out to stay in Santa Barbara. And so then I started chastising the city for making a grab on Coast Village Road just to grab the tax base of the business, and how they how the city of Santa Barbara has this little finger out to Coast Village Road. So I received a phone call after the program from a fellow named Paul who was listening on Saturday, not when it was live. He couldn't talk to us. And I did call Betty Weiss at the city. She's a planner, or forget her title. And she confirmed what Paul said, that the genesis was apparently a merchant request for sewer service. And that's what precipitated the city annexation of Coast Village Road. Yeah. Not that this is really big news, but I just wanted to clarify that. I was chastising the city for being land grabbers and et cetera.
Well, that's relevant to them wanting to grab the eastern Goleta Valley, of course. Although we don't have a huge tax base out here. But still, I guess property taxes account for, well, there are some businesses, some supermarket areas, strip malls, but they're very, as you know, the city's been talking about being very interested in wanting to eventually annex this area. Bob Braitman, I know, talks about the mobile home parks issue a lot, because if they annex the Eastern Goleta Valley, that would include the mobile home parks, and they would severely put at risk their loss of rent controls.
Right, but apparently there's a way to...
But Braitman...
Cut them out.
Thinks, yeah, they could do an island around them, or a peninsula, have them be a little peninsula of their own.
Hey,
maybe
Chuck?
That's like this peninsula going out to the airport.
Hey, Chuck? Chuck, yeah. Excuse me. Are you on a cordless phone?
No, I'm on a regular phone.
Landline? Okay.
Is it not doing well?
Oh, well, we're just kind of hearing a little static, a little... Maybe you have a poltergeist situation at your house. You might want to check into that.
I'll go to a separate section of the house. Maybe that'll help.
So, that's a possibility with Bob Braitman. So what I asked a former member of the city council after this second district race was, I wonder if Das Williams hadn't run, if a lot of those people would have voted for Joe Gazzardi, and if they had, or if they all of them did, he would have won, or if most of them did, he might have been in the top two for the runoff.
That's very possible.
And their answer was, oh, no, they wouldn't have voted for, And I said that because I was receiving a lot of information from Das Williams that he was seemingly taking an identical position that Joe Gazzardi was.
That's right, he was. In fact, all of the candidates adopted a lot of Joe Gazzardi's platforms, including having our own community plan update. Das Williams was very big about slow growth and protecting ag lands, exactly as Joe was.
Okay, well, that's what I thought. But yet after the election, who was it? Was it Janet Wolf's campaign or somebody? Or it might have even been the mayor? Who were the people that were saying, see, Joe Gazzardi lost, and this was an affirmation that no one cares about slow growth? They took that stance.
Well, in addition to the politicians who said that, people who work for the Coastal Housing Coalition, Steve Americano, who's their president and a lawyer, and Bud Laurent. This is a coalition that the county actually helped start with funds, $5,000 in funds, but it's mostly funded by developer groups as an advocacy group to favor high-density development and development of all kinds. They're the ones that claim this election proves that the Eastern Goleta Valley doesn't really care that much about slowing down our growth out here, which couldn't be further from the truth. Actually, all four of the candidates took the same position about us needing careful planning out here before we do any development. And that's been our main issue. And that the real test for that was when the Board of Supervisors had the Planning Commission do their work and agree that nothing from the Eastern Goleta Valley would be included in the housing element for to be designated for dense development of 20 units plus per acre out here. That's the real landmark decision that we're totally off the table in the Eastern Goleta Valley now for dense development of 20 units, minimum of 20 units per acre, and by the time they add affordable housing to that, it gets up to as much as 27 units per acre. that would be a nightmare out here in the Goleta Valley, especially the Hollister and Kelly Rail corridors.
And that's
but
off the table?
But they never talk about that.
That's off the table for now?
It's off the table until the next mandate round, which starts in 2009. And all three of the candidates, not except for Janet Wolf, also agreed that there's problems with the state mandate, that they should not be requiring coastal communities like us to have to accept this kind of density, high density. And in fact, there are very good arguments that we don't have to accept that. But our own planning department decided we wanted to accept it because they're all for dense development, which they showed in their strategic scan report from the CEO's office. I don't know if you watched any of those hearings. They basically said, you know, we're in trouble financially in Santa Barbara County. We need to make more money, and we can't make it on places like the Eastern Goleta Valley where they want to keep status quo development because the big money comes from big development. So we want to do dense centers, village centers, they're now calling it. That's the new word. Where we can pack units in and collect a lot of taxes from them, even though they'll be, you know, up 3-4 stories high, very little green space. People, you know, living like rats in a cage in a lot of instances where you pack these in up to 26 and 27 units per acre.
And where are they proposing? Where do you see this happening?
Well, they haven't settled on a site yet, but the county strategic scan committee run by the CEO and the Blue Ribbon Committee all said that's what we need to raise the most money for the county because of our almost $250 million pension deficit. And the places, we have to figure out the places to do it. And, of course, we're worried that they might decide to do it in a place here in the Goleta Valley, such as what if they wanted to do that at San Marcos Growers, all this big agricultural land out here.
Or out at the corner of Turnpike and Hollister.
Exactly. Between Turnpike and San Marcos. I happen to live right next door to it. And there was a lot of loose talk at one time about, well, wouldn't it be neat to put a Target Center in there as part of it? Because, you know, it's right near the freeway exit. And, boy, something like that would be a disaster for us. But right now they're talking about, well, the right place to do it would be out there and way out in the San Ynez Valley or Orchid or Lompoc, and some of the supervisors, including Firestone and Joni Gray and Centeno, have said, yeah, we could probably go for some of that out in our areas if we can get the funding to do it. So that's the big push for the future by the county, to use housing as their way to cure their budget woes. And we stopped them from doing that in the Goleta Valley now for until at least 2009 to 2013, that next phase of the mandate.
So what do you see now? You know, we just discussed how, talking with Chuck Kent, recapping the second supervisor district race, Chuck was supporting Joe Guzzardi. Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, 564-1290, 564-1290. The idea that one side is saying, oh, see, this means that we won. The other side is saying, you know, well, no, this means that we got a lot of votes. And I think the news press pointed out that in the Eastern Goleta Valley that Joe Guzzardi actually won or got something.
Yeah, he got the most votes in the Eastern Goleta Valley. And which was the base of his support, of course, because this is where they want to put all the heavy development.
Right.
And what he did not win was downtown Santa Barbara, which is included in the second supervisory district, even though those people, you know, have all of their land control issues handled by the city of Santa Barbara.
Yeah, it is a real dichotomy. It does seem somehow an imbalance. And did most of those people vote for Doss Williams?
A lot of them voted for Doss Williams. From what I read, is he did particularly well up in the Cottage Hospital area, maybe because of all the dense development going on there. People aren't happy with that, maybe. And Janet Wolf did very well in the city.
So now what's going to happen between Janet Wolf and Dan Secord? Who is your group going to support?
We don't know.
And what are they saying? What are they trying to do? You know, what do you think? Which one of them is...
Well, this is the problem. What they say and what they'll eventually do is the huge issue, and maybe they'll clarify that more between now and November. But all, you know, Dr. Secord did a very smart thing. He said he'd actually had like the Eastern Goleta Valley to have its own planning commission, which may or may not be practical.
Like Montecito has.
Right, exactly. Janet Wolf wouldn't go that far. She says sort of weakly that she agrees we ought to have our own update of our own community plan, which all candidates said.
Well, that was more than Susan Rose said, wasn't it?
Susan Rose always said, wait your turn, we can't afford it. Even though there's been plenty of money out here coming from the city of Goleta after the cityhood, they pay something like $6 million a year to the city for plus other sums for the fact that they took away some of the county's assets by becoming a city. So, and some of that money was supposed to have gone toward doing our new community plan. But Susan Rose has refused to push for that her entire term in office since 2001 when the city of Goleta became incorporated.
Well, we got to straighten out Dan Secord and make certain he's on the true and true and narrow here.
We do, because he's...
And then we'll vote for Dan Secord. If the three of them were running, Secord, Wolf, and Doss Williams, and Joe Gazzardi wasn't running, I would have voted for Dan Secord.
Originally. He ran an excellent campaign, and he said the right things.
You know, I mean, I don't know if he has... I mean, I know that Joe Gazzardi had a lot of ideas about floor area ratios and different things that I might not have agreed with, but I voted for him because I thought I agreed with his approach. And I thought he was first and true to that approach.
He was. He's absolutely true about it. What we don't know about the two remaining candidates is whether they're just mouthing these things to get votes.
Well, Dan Secord, I vote Republican when I can, but I'm not a fanatic about it. But
well,
Dan's got to step up.
Dan, as you know, is very well supported by all the realtors, the Board of Realtors especially that you belong to.
And which, as a rule, are generally pro-development and
right.
pro-growth.
That's right.
So there's got to be a little balance here.
One of the things that bothers us about Secord is he might be in favor of more of this oil development that the county's saying they want to try to do as a way to increase more funding, more money.
Mm-hmm.
And, boy, that talk about being anti-environment. A lot of people say that Secord is very poor on the environment issues. Even though he was on the Coastal Commission, he voted a lot on against environmental protections.
Right.
So we have to find out more about those things.
Chuck, you're a good man. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks,
I'm kind of bouncing some of this stuff off with me, and keep me posted as to what the Wolf and Secord, what eventually is going to happen and who you're going to throw your support with.
Sure will. Thanks, Mark.
Chuck Kent, thank
nice
you.
Talking with you.
Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. That's a long first segment. We have two more segments. We'll discuss some real estate issues. And, of course, the fourth segment is the weekly multiple listing sales update. Stay tuned. You'll be right back.